on the Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours here on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. A lifeless performance from the Yankees. The most exciting thing in the Bronx last night was the George Costanza Calzone bobblehead that was given out before the game. It's a Peter Pocket. Big Stein wants his calzone. Great giveaway, by the way. Absolutely phenomenal. And I saw that the Yankees were also selling eggplant calzones, which is a nice touch as well. And people waited online in the rain, which people do for these giveaways. And this is a really, really good one. Some of them I'm like, they're all right. But this one, and obviously I'm a huge Seinfeld fan, so I'm incredibly biased. And I'm not the biggest bobblehead person. In fact, I'm not a bobblehead person at all. I have one bobblehead to my name, and it was given to me as a gift. So otherwise, I would not really seek a bobblehead. But if you are a Seinfeld fan and a bobblehead fan, then this to me is the perfect giveaway. So hopefully you were able to get one tonight if you went out to the stadium. And then, like I said, the joy of getting the bobblehead was the best part of your night because the Yankees were just brutal. Another error for Lombard, 6 in his last 6 games. I said last night he needs a night off. You can give him a rest, clear his mind, and then go into this series against the Red Sox, the biggest series of the year, with clear thoughts. Austin Wells, too, stinks. I mean, I know this is just, what else is new, but I feel like every night Wells comes up in a big spot and just does nothing. There weren't a lot of big spots in this game last night for the Yankees, but runner on second, chance to move over to third, and Wells swings at a pitch about 12 feet out of the strike zone. And as much as I think Luis Garcia Jr. could go down as one of the great trades that Brian Cashman has ever made, this deadline still, to me, was incomplete because the Yankees did not acquire a catcher, somebody to push Wells for playing time. So as great as Garcia is, and I think will be, and I think he could ultimately be a guy that could be around for a long time here, be your first baseman, you still, to me, had an incomplete deadline because you did not address one of, if not your biggest needs, and that is the fact that you are getting zero production out of your catcher. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. But yeah, if it was me, I would have rested Lombard last night. Still make the strong argument to do it against the Red Sox. He needs a break. You don't want to put him in a situation where it's 7 games in a row with an error. It's already bad enough that it's 6. And Boone was asked about it after the game. You know, do you think a night off would do Lombard some good? And Boone basically said no. Well, I vehemently disagree with that. I think it would do him a lot of good because it would keep him out of the focus here and out of the crosshairs, and the streak could just kind of go away. You know, let's forget about it a little bit. Let's not talk Lombard tomorrow. And yeah, okay, fine. He's going to have to answer questions about it, meaning Boone. And yeah, Lombard will have to ask questions about it, but it's a day off. It's not a benching. It's a chance to get a mental reset. Let's go to Bob. He joins us next here on After Hours. What's going on, Bob?
Well, Tommy, I'm driving back from the game to Boston, and I have to disagree with you.
You're driving. Hold on a second. You drove from Boston. What's that drive costing you there? How long is that?
From the stadium, 3.5 hours.
Okay.
Not much traffic on the highway.
Yeah, tonight. No, most people are probably in bed by now. Okay, so 3.5 hours back to Boston. So you're a Yankee fan living in Boston.
Although I have a second home in Englewood, New Jersey also.
Gotcha.
So I stay there.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to disagree with you on George Lombard.
Okay.
First of all, I think if they were ever going to sit him down, it would be if he wasn't hitting. And he barely missed a home run tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he got a triple, but he hasn't really been hitting either, though. I mean, he did have a triple tonight, but it's not like the offense is, you know, like is crazy good right now. I'll pull up his numbers here in a second, but go ahead. But I feel like he hasn't been hitting that much either.
He gives you good at-bats.
Yeah, he's four for his last 24. So he's batting 167. So the offense isn't there. You want to tell me those are good outs or he's having some good at-bats, fine. But right now he's hit a little bit of a slump, which is understandable. But you know what? To me, the reason why I don't want to harp on the hitting as much is because hitting is hitting. Guys go through slumps. But guys don't often go through 6 games where they commit have 6 errors in those 6 games. So something to me is up with him mentally.
Except Did you hear the post-game show on WFAN?
Yes, I did.
With George Lombard?
Yes, I did.
He didn't sound like anybody who was affected by the errors. He's going to put it behind him and play tomorrow. And I think, you know, Boone said in his comments that he went through the same thing when he was a player.
He did
say
that.
I don't think it's unusual.
No, it's not unusual. Look, I mean, Lindor went through it earlier this year with the Mets, and he's a vet. He's a guy who's a perennial all-star, could have been MVP a couple years ago. So it happens to the best of them. But I just think this is why you as a manager, you can find little pockets and opportunities to give a player a rest, give him a day off, give him a mental reset, especially going into a major series, a big one here. Definitely the biggest series of the year against the Red Sox. I just thought the timing was right to give Lombard a day off.
He's 21. I don't think he needs a day off.
But again, Bob, it's not about his age or about his physical capabilities. It's more of a mental thing. And I know you said he didn't sound like a guy that mentally is bothering him, but you know what? You know, maybe he's obviously very much been brought up, and I appreciate the call. I mean, his dad played in the big leagues. His dad, Matt, coaches in the big leagues. You know, George Lombard Jr., it knows what he's doing here. I mean, he's a guy that is, I think, very polished and very seasoned for a guy his age. You know, he's been set up to do this his entire life. But how else would he explain it then? If it's not mental, then what? He's a horrible defensive player? We all know that's not the case. But right now, he looks like one. Really bad. He's booting routine ground balls. And I'm telling you right now, the boo birds are coming out. If he boots one more against the Red Sox, the boos are coming out. They have been gracious Yankee fans to Lombard because of the way he started, because he's the top prospect, and because he's replacing Anthony Volpe. That's why. So he's getting a proverbial pass. But that pass is only going to last you so long, and I think he's right on the edge right now. I think one more error in it. So if he plays Friday night, which I suspect he will, but if he plays Friday night or tonight, now that we've crossed over to midnight, and he boots a ball, he commits an error, throwing error, whatever the case may be, it leads to a run or two, whatever ends up being the result of it, the boo birds will come out. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Dari joins us in Queens. What's up, Dari?
Hi, I love listening to your show, and I haven't had the guts to call since years and years ago. I used to speak to Steve Summers, the schmoozer.
Dari joins us in Queens. Of course, she is a huge fan of the Yankees, and she's under the covers. And don't be a stranger, nothing to be intimidated about. Now, Dari, were you at the game tonight, or you were just up late?
No, I'm not at the game tonight. I'm going to the game Saturday night.
Beautiful.
I've loved the Yankees since I've been 10, 11 years old, and sat in bed with my transistor radio watching Marison, listening to
Dari, you don't want to date yourself, because I was just going to say that was 20 years ago. I was going to put you at 30, but you ended up dating yourself there.
No.
We're all 30 at heart, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I am. I feel like I'm 35 in my
That's all that matters,
heart.
Dari. It doesn't matter what you are age-wise. It's matter how you feel.
Right. Well, I do feel the same way that you do about diners and restaurants, because a lot of times if I go visit my mom, she's in assisted living, mm-hmm. And I come home and it's 10 o'clock. I can't get a piece of pizza.
It's ridiculous.
The diners are closed. I know. I don't like that. And I agree with you about that. Also, I agree with you about sitting Lombard out tonight and giving him a rest. It wouldn't be so terrible. He's making errors now. He's probably over anxious.
Yep.
And I think he needs to, just relax.
Yeah, just take some chill. Just take a night off, because you know what? It compounds. Yes. In your brain, it just kind of snowballs, because the idea that this is now a streak, it's just going to become even bigger and bigger as far as a topic.
Correct.
Here on the station, in the stands, and I'm sure in his head.
Yes. And I, too, was very disappointed, you know, with Cashman, that he didn't get a catch-up.
Yep.
He didn't get us more bullpen help, I felt. A lot of things, but I'm not crazy about Cashman. What am I going to tell you? I'm not crazy about Boone either.
Yeah.
I like Girardi better as a manager. And I used to love when I used to go to Yankee Stadium, and sometimes the Yankees weren't doing that well. It wasn't so crowded, the stadium, like it is now. But when Steinbrenner did the contract with A-Rod, oh my God, it was filled all the time. And you know what? It was very exciting. Steroids, no steroids.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, listen, of course. Sorry. I mean, it's funny because, like, what you just brought up there. So when I was growing up, Yankee Stadium was not filled, not even close, on a nightly basis. And now, due to such a sustained success, to their credit, a franchise that hasn't finished under 500 since the early 90s, they have built this brand, this empire, to where they get these big crowds night in and night out. And they back it up with success. I mean, maybe not a championship in a while, but they win in the regular season. They put a product on the field that justifies the type of crowds that they draw. But yeah, we have to start opening. And this is why I'm going to, and same thing with the pizzerias. I was just saying, I was complaining about this a little while ago. I missed my train last night. I'm at Penn Station. I'm in Midtown. I'm looking for a slice of pizza and no pizzeria is open. There wasn't a pizzeria within a couple of minutes that were open. And I'm sitting there like, this is New York City. This is the greatest city in the world. Last I checked, I thought it was the only place in the world at 4 a.m. I could buy a slice of pizza or a Cadillac. That's what makes this city so great. And weekday, schmeek day, it doesn't matter. It's always somebody Saturday night. This is Manhattan. This isn't Poughkeepsie. No offense to Poughkeepsie, but you get my point. It's Manhattan. It's the biggest city in the world, the greatest city in the world, and I can't get a slice of pizza at 3 in the morning or 2 in the morning, whatever the hell time it was, after hours. I'm offended by that, and that's why I'm Tommy Pizza, and that's why I got to open a pizzeria and a diner while we're at it. Maybe I could get this radio station to fund it. That'd be nice. I mean, really, I mean, or just pay me more. So, I mean, and so I can open up said businesses. I'll give you a cut. You could be like the mafia. I'll give you a cut. You know what I mean? F you, pay me. So that's how we do things around here. But we have to continue the tradition that I and many of us have grown up on, and that is late night, I'm going to a diner. I'm getting some food. Little breakfast, little French toast, scrambled eggs, an omelet, disco fries, double cheeseburger with bacon on it. Even if you want to go the chicken tenders route, something like that. Little milkshake, little chocolate milk. It's perfect. It's New York City. It's the embodiment of where we live. And now, from what I'm hearing from those out there in this, you know, and I experienced it last night, is, you know, you get to the wee hours, and in some cases, not even the wee hours, and everything is closed. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. So, I've told you now for the last couple weeks, don't put any stock in what you see in training camp, what you hear in training camp, any stories, any narratives, any preseason games. It's just, it's there. It exists to exist. And that's probably the best way I could say it. It exists to exist. It has no bearing and I think no carryover effect into the regular season. And when it comes to Odell, outside of this week, from everything you heard, he has looked awful. But then this week you heard he looked amazing. And Harbaugh even said this was his best week. Whether this was his best week or he's had bad weeks before that, to me, I don't put any stock in any of that. And what I think he's going to do this season is how I feel he's going to do. And nothing that happens over the summer is going to, good, bad, or otherwise, is going to sway my opinion on what the performance of Odell will be this season. Let's go to Willie in Howard Beach. He joins us next here in After Hours. What's up, Willie?
What's going on, Tommy? Hey. How you feeling, brother?
Good. How you doing?
I'm chilling. No, my question for you is actually a Giants question. My question is if Jackson Dart winds up playing, right? Mm-hmm. And Odell winds up playing, do you think that if, let's just say they play Jackson Dart the first quarter and only wind up bringing Odell in like the third quarter or something,
right?
You think it's pointless at that point to even bring Odell in? Like, you think the main focal point should be how does Odell do with Jackson Dart? Or do you think there's a strategy in having them come on the field, even though we never get to see them on the field at the same time, like for that one game? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Meaning you don't want to see it until the regular season. You don't want to tip your hand. Look, everything you're going to be kind of be running in the preseason is vanilla. I'd rather see them on the field than not on the field together. Meaning I'd rather see both of them out there than one in the third quarter and then Dart in the first quarter. So to answer your question, yeah, I'd rather see them both out there at the same time. And I do want to see Jackson Dart play this weekend. I know the Giants are waffling on it. They're unsure. Jackson Dart is not a 10-year vet. He's not Aaron Rodgers, who's entering season, 55 here. He's a young player. It's only his second year, second preseason. I know everybody gets nuts and crazy and worried about his health and his injuries and all that nonsense, which I think is completely and utterly overblown. I think the Blue Medical Tent stuff is a witch hunt. Dart in a new offense with a new offensive coordinator. Get some reps. Go out there and play for a quarter. Maybe even a half. This game used to be a dress rehearsal. The third preseason game used to be a dress rehearsal. That's completely gone out the window. Now you're talking, I hate to be like this, but could you imagine back in the day a young quarterback in the third preseason game? I know it's technically now the final preseason, but it's the third preseason game though. Because they scrapped the fourth preseason game because it was a farce. But this should be the dress rehearsal this game. It's the final time you're on a field in a somewhat game-like situation before the regular season. It should be the dress rehearsal. Dart, a young quarterback, should be playing. Hopefully he does. I know the Giants haven't come up with a decision on that, but if it was me, if it was up to me, I would be playing Dart against the Jets. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Matt joins us next from Albany. What's up, Matt?
Hey, I'm a professor, and I'm grooving on you're talking about food.
Yep.
And I wanted to touch base with the very happy news that the Carnegie Deli is being resurrected.
You know what, Matt? I'm glad that you brought that up. So good for the audience, especially the audience listening right now. A previous caller a couple days ago, Teddy and Yonkers, brought that up to me as well. And now, how long was it out of business for? When did they close their doors?
Closed just before New Year's in 2016. So they've been out
for
10 years.
It's been that long. I wouldn't have guessed that.
They have a presence at the Garden.
Yep.
So then you could also buy online, but in terms of
Matt, something to be said about going to the, because you go over to Carnegie Hall, Carnegie Deli. I assume it's the same locations as it used to be.
No. It's moving down the block. It's going to be where the Stage Deli used to be.
I gotcha. Okay.
It's basically on the same block or one block down.
Close enough.
I just hope that it's as good as it was before.
Yeah, that's always the thing that you worry about a little bit, Matt. But yeah, I appreciate that. I was aware of that. But, many people listening right now are probably not aware of that. But that's great to hear. An institution in New York City. I knew it would close their doors. I knew they closed their doors. I didn't realize it was that long ago, though. I didn't realize it was 10 years ago. That's a long time. I would have guessed a little bit earlier than that. But yeah, it's great to hear that it's back. And yes, it does have a presence at the Garden. And like I said, you can order stuff online. But there's only a couple things that I would order food-wise when it comes to like delivery. Meaning go to the restaurant or delivery. Obviously pizza delivery, Chinese food delivery, Thai food delivery. Maybe a couple other things, but other than that, the best experience you're going to have is either at the restaurant, at the deli. You know what I mean? It's just going to be fresher. It's going to be better. It's going to be much more made to order, warmer, the whole thing. So I'd always prefer to go. I know it takes a little bit. It's easy now to just have somebody bring you your food, but you're going to lose a little bit in quality with a lot of the cuisines. So that's why I try to, if I can, make it to the restaurant. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's After Hours. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. Sean joins us next from Old Bridge, New Jersey. What's up, Sean?
Hello, Lugie. A lot of talk about food. Oh, my goodness.
It's making me hungry. And it all started with talking about John Harbaugh sports and him waffling. And that made me think of chicken and waffles, which made me think of chocolate chip pancakes, which made me think of French toast, which made everybody think of the Carnegie Deli. And then it made us think of diners. And now we are all, Sean, and I've always been, I don't know if you'll like this, because you are a night owl, I'm a big late-night eater. I always have been, which the older you get, it doesn't do wonders for your stomach. I can attest to that. But I've always been a late-night eater.
I mean, sometimes I could be like that, but it depends on, the time of night, of course.
Well, what does that mean, though? I don't understand what that means. What does it have to do with?
Because
it doesn't depend, because late night is late night. I think we all have kind of the same definition of late night.
And I think it varies if you have that, like, if you got the munchies.
Well, I mean, the munchies could be at any hour, but or the drunkies. But, I mean, even when I don't have the drunkies, where I'm, like, ravenously hungry, but even in, just in general in life, so this is early days, high school, college, of course, but even post and now, especially that I work these hours, you know, I go home every night and I try not to, but I'm oftentimes wanting to eat. You know what it is, too, Sean?
What's
there's
that?
Just something about eating late night where you are sort of not in the hustle and bustle. You know what I mean? It's quiet. You can kind of just get in your own world, put a movie on, put something on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, you go to a drive-thru, no one is there. There's just something about it that is just very calming. And I don't know, I just love everything about it. You know, I don't like sometimes the craziness of the area that we live in. So that's another reason why I like the late night eating.
I totally agree with that. And by the way, when I looked out the window, I did not see the moon, unfortunately.
Yeah, what do you mean? Well, hold on a second. So, there's supposed to be a lunar eclipse tonight, a partial lunar eclipse, and I thought it was supposed to be blood red by now. You're telling me you looked out the window and you didn't see the moon at all?
I looked out my window, because I don't know, both windows, from my door and in my backyard window, I didn't see it because I don't know which angle it even is exactly. So
what you're saying is the moon is in all likelihood still there, it's just that your vantage point outside your bedroom window is of that way you couldn't see it.
Correct. I mean, I do have a window in my room. I could take a quick look.
Well, I would think most people do, unless you're incarcerated. So, I mean, imagine you do have a window in your room there. But, I mean, most people do. I mean, I guess you could live in a basement, I suppose. But, yeah, most people have a bedroom, a window, but you couldn't see it out of your bedroom window.
No, and it's probably in a different way. So, now, I'll get to the Yankees in a second, because I wanted to ask this. Who would you, in the WFAN group, who would you, like, have employ as, like, what positions? And, like, it can include a producer, too.
What do you mean by that? What is that supposed to mean?
So, like, who would be your, like, the cook? Who would be the waiter?
If I were to hire people, at my diner here. Ooh,
yeah.
Okay, so for maitre d', I would need somebody that has a good personality. Like, when you walk in there, you know, you see them and they light up a room, and that's the guy you want to, like, attract people to come in. They also need to be good looking. So I think Tiki is perfect for that. I mean, he's a charming guy. He looks like a mannequin. Doesn't he strike you as like a maitre d'? Like, you walk in and it's Tiki Barber. And plus, I mean, people are going to see the Giants all-time leading rusher, and they're going to definitely want to come in my diner.
All right. And who will be the chef?
I'm trying to think out loud here. You know, I've never actually eaten the food of anybody. Actually, that's not true. Well, Marash, but that's more of a barbecue. I would probably, and it's not because they're a little bit on the husky side, but I would hire McMonagle to be the chef, sort of the main chef, and then Marash would be like his sous chef.
Now I need
a waiter. Is what you're saying. I need a waiter.
Yeah, you need a waiter, yes.
So I need somebody with a strong personality, somebody that is a people person. Where do I want to go with this one? Yeah. I mean, I would say Craig, but he would probably eat all the food. That's the only problem there. He'd probably get high on his own supply. So
maybe Connor Green.
Well, Connor Green would be a good one. You know, I almost visioned Connor Green almost. Remember those diners back in the day where they had the roller skates and they would ride out to the. Yeah, I almost feel like Connor would be perfect for that.
I've seen that one time. This is actually true. I've seen that one time. Like, you get your order, you put your orders, and then they come out with that.
Yeah, it's like the diner restaurant place that Uma Thurman and John Travolta went to in Pulp Fiction, where they have the $5 milkshake. Martin Lewis?
I've seen that movie.
Well, listen, and I actually think the Uma Thurman and John Travolta, and obviously because Uma's in there, that helps. But to me, that scene is the best scene in the movie. Where I don't want to give full things away, but they go to get food, and then she accidentally does something, and that turns into a situation that they are in a little bit of dire straits in. Let's put it that way. But I think it's the whole movie's amazing. But that scene, to me, the Travolta Uma Thurman scene, is the best scene in the movie of Pulp Fiction.
All right. So then, who would be the busboy? Like
busboy, who's cleaning tables? Who boy? You know what? I'll just to show that I'm a good boss, and I'll clean the tables. I'll do it.
Wow.
Yeah. Just because I don't want people to think, well, what's Tommy doing? Just collecting the checks? You know, I'll step up and I'll be one of those, like, owner. You know, you go to a restaurant sometimes and the owner does everything. So I could do a little bit of everything. I could be the maitre d', I could be a waiter, I could help you clean tables. So I would kind of do everything. I would kind of run the floor.
And last but not least, who would you make the manager?
Right, because I'm the owner. I would need a manager.
Mm-hmm.
I almost lean... Boy. I'd probably make... What do you think would be the best qualification for somebody to be a manager? Somebody that's good with numbers? Somebody that's good with money? Yeah. Somebody that's good with numbers,
has good knowledge, good experience, has done it in the past and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, obviously nobody that really has that here. I guess I could do upper management. I could have the architect be the manager.
Yeah.
There you go. Done.
All right. That kind of fits. And now I'm trying to think of what would the name be. That's a real big question.
Yeah, well, obviously it would have to tie into my name. So I'd have to think about a way to kind of incorporate maybe even the positivity thing or the Tommy thing in there. But I also want people to know that the diner is open till 4 in the morning. That's really the biggest reason why I want to open up this diner.
Yeah, it could be... Make it 24 hours a day, but then again...
Well, I have to hire a bigger staff, but then obviously we'll hire Al Dukes, we'll get Boomer and G involved, so we'll get everybody involved with the diner.
All right, that makes sense. Anyway, so, on to the business at hand. So, let's discuss this Yankees, because I don't know what... Honestly, I thought we would take this serious, but of course that... I heard that Lombard had a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably an understatement at this point, Shawnee. He's got 6 errors in 6 straight games, which is just baffling at this point.
I mean, I understand you did mention that you would want to sit him out. I already mentioned that.
Yep.
I mean, I guess he's probably feeling the pressure, gets him all nervous, and I know that he's young. He's a young kid.
He's young, and he's also human, Sean. So to me, you're young, and you're human, and you're in a difficult spot, meaning you're the number one prospect, a shortstop on a Yankees, pinstripes, the whole nine, and you're expected to be Ozzie Smith after your first couple performances. The bar was set very high. All of a sudden, you boot a couple balls, you have a couple of bad games, and it would be natural for it to just sort of swell in your brain and affect your play. And I think that's what's happening here, because it's either that or he's a horrible defensive player, which we all know he's not.
No, I don't think so either. I think he's got a beautiful future ahead of him,
yep.
And we just want to let it take its time. I know it's the first year.
Yeah, or the jitters or the yips, and I appreciate the call. You don't want to ruin him, and I don't mean like long term, I mean short term. That's what you don't want to do. And look, he could play on Friday night, he could hit 2 home runs, he could make a great defensive player. Oh, see, Lugo said he needed a rest. Yeah, obviously, hindsight could always be 20/20, but I just think without the benefit of hindsight, because I said this yesterday, and look what he did tonight. He booted another ball. And yeah, he had a triple, but he only had one hit, and his offense hasn't been there either. So really, the overall game for Lombard has been non-existent. But to me, it's where I always thought Lombard would make it here, and I still do, but it's the idea that he's so great defensively that even if he's in a slump offensively, not hitting the ball and not producing with the bat in his hands, you could always count on him for the glove in his hands to make great plays and to stop the opposing team from scoring runs because, you know, his defense is so exceptional. He's hurting you in both ways now. He's not fielding at all, meaning he's committing all these errors, and his bat has been quiet, very quiet. So, I don't know, I just think it's the right time for a day off. Aaron Boone after the game basically said that they're not going to give him a day off, which means they probably will, but Boone after the game was asked about it and said he doesn't think a day off for Lombard would do him any good. Which I don't know how you know this player. He's only been around for a couple weeks. So I don't know how you have a gauge and a feel for somebody. It's one thing if it was a vet. Yeah, it's somebody that's been around for 5, 6 years. You kind of have and you've been around him for those 5 or 6 years. You have a feel for that player. You know when they need a day off, when they don't need a day off, whether or not this will work, that'll work. And that's part of being a manager, knowing what buttons to push. How on earth do you know what buttons to push with Lombard at this point? You have no idea. So why not try this, see how it goes, and then at least you tried it. I don't think it will do any harm, that's for sure, because if giving him a night off breaks him, then he's not ready for this stage. He's not ready, which is understandable. He's young, but, you know, if one day off because you've committed 6 errors in 6 games, if that breaks you mentally, then you're not ready for what's in front of you here, which is it's only going to get tougher, it's only going to get harder, and it's only going to come with more scrutiny. 888-808 1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. I see a full board of callers, so we're going to get to everybody, I promise. So don't go anywhere. A lot of topics here, including Aaron Boone. Someone's got a wedding story for me. George Lombard, pizza, Yankees, Mets, Giants. So we have a smorgasbord of topics that we'll cover in the next segment coming up here. 12:35 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is after hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's do a fan focus here. Obviously, you should always keep it locked to WFAN. Dave, Susan, Barbari, the whole gang there on the radio. Always keep it locked. But I understand sometimes you want to watch the game on television. And a part of me was like, let me check what channel the Yankee game is on later on tonight. Because I just had a feeling which channel it was on. And my feelings were ultimately correct. Yankees Red Sox Friday night is on Apple TV. So that means your Uncle Louie, your Aunt Rose, Larry David, they're going to call you up in the morning and they're not going to be able to find the Yankee. Or right before the game, and then where's the Yankee game? You know, Larry David's going to invite you over for some Mahjong, and they're not going to know where the Yankee game is. So be prepared. In fact, when you wake up, call your Aunt Rose, call your Uncle Louie, call Larry David, and let them know that they're not going to probably be able to watch the Yankee game, so to listen to it on WFAN because they're on the Apple TV. I knew it. I was like, let me check just to be sure here. But yes, it is in fact on Apple TV. It's the wave of the future. It's not going anywhere. You know the NFL, they're pigs. I've said this over and over again. There will be at some point in our lifetimes a game, an NFL game on every single day of the week. I mean, they're practically there at this point already, but there will be a game every single day, night of the week on 17 different streaming services, played over 45 different continents, in 67 different countries, in 47 different time zones, because they're pigs. And the toothpaste is not going to go back in the tooth. What is it again? The toothpaste goes in the tube. Right. But what would you call it? The tooth tube? You wouldn't call it that. So you would just say the toothpaste in the tube. Right. You never put the toothpaste back in the tube. I felt like there should have been an extra tooth there, but there wasn't. So I second-guessed myself there. It's all right. You know me. I get a little stunned, a little bots late night. Perhaps I'm just like that anyway, and I just make it up like, oh, at night I'm like this, and perhaps even during the day. But yeah, the NFL, they're not going to change the way they do their business. But and I know it's frustrating. If you don't have Apple TV, I don't even think necessarily all the bars have Apple TV. So, and some people don't like going out to bars. I understand that. Or to a restaurant or somewhere where the game is being shown in a group setting. Perhaps someone in your life has Apple TV. I'm not suggesting to go get Apple TV for one game if you just want to see the Yankee game. And if you don't want to, my suggestion would be obviously listen to here on WFAN or find somebody that you know that has Apple TV. But I'm telling you right now, when you wake up, call your Aunt Rose, call your Uncle Louie, call Larry David and let him know the game's on Apple TV. Because Larry David's going to be looking for it at 7 o'clock. He's not going to be able to find it. And he's going to want to play Mahjong with somebody. I love Mahjong, by the way. Great game. My only issue with Mahjong, and maybe this is more of an issue that I have with my in-laws, and I brought this up to my wife the other night, and of course she scoffed at it. My in-laws love Mahjong. When I go out to Beverly Hills to visit them, Los Angeles, Tinseltown, City of Angels, when I go visit them in Beverly Hills, we always end up playing Mahjong. And they were the ones that taught me the game. My only gripe with them, this is for my father-in-law, this is for my sister-in-law, this is for my brother-in-law, and this is for my wife. My mother-in-law, she'll play Mahjong, but sometimes she'll sit out. So she's not as much of an offender as they are. My biggest issue is, and they're very competitive people, and I'm not necessarily the most competitive person. To some degree I am, but not when it comes to a board game, or whatever you want to call it, a dice game. Or a, not a dice game, a dominoes game. But they never let me win. I've never won, once. And I've been playing this damn game with them for, what, 8 years now or something? Maybe even longer. And they never let me win. Can you take a dive? Can you give me one win? Can I beat you in Mahjong once? Is it really going to matter for you? It'll matter for me. Because that way I feel like, hey, you know what? It's bad enough when I play my cousins who are brainiacs. And it doesn't matter what game we play. They wipe the floor with me. I'm basically happy if I finish in third when I play them, and that's out of three. So it's just they're just brainiacs. They're very smart. I am street smart, but not, I wouldn't call them maybe a little bit of a high IQ. But when it comes to these type of games, I'm just not very good at them. And they just wipe the floor with me. And they show no mercy. They're like Captain Insano, which is fine. But you know what? They are my family. This is more in-laws, which are like my family. But you would think that they want to, you know, he's visiting, he's in town. And I love going out there. It beats going to somewhere else where I wouldn't want to go to. So I love going to California. But I'd like to win at Mahjong once. Maybe Larry David will have me over and he can let me win at Mahjong. Because I'm not that good at it. I'm passable, respectable, but I'm going up against people that are really, really good at it. But they could take a dive. For their son-in-law, for their brother-in-law, I don't think that's asking too much. But yeah, the game is on Apple TV, which sucks. I mean, it's nothing against Apple TV. It's just, I feel for the people that don't have it. And I feel for the people that can't get it, don't want to get it, and end up missing the game on television. But like I said, you always have a home here at WFAN. You get Dave, you get Susan, you get Babari, you get everybody over there, and we got you locked.
Hey now!
We got you locked. If you can't get Apple TV or you don't have Apple TV, because like I said, I've talked to some bar owners. I don't think they get Apple TV in the bars. I don't think they do. Because I'm sure people show up wanting to see the Yankee game, and they're like, listen, we don't have Apple TV. So obviously that hurts your business, because people are going to say, well, all right, well, I was going to come here and watch the game, because I don't have Apple TV. Very annoying. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Speaking of people that don't have Apple TV, Paul joins us yet from Yonkers. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, Tom. Positive Tommy. How are you?
I'm good.
First of all, just for what you just said.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's Giants and Jets. I ain't watching a pitcher.
No, hold on a second here, Paul. Yankee. No. We've had this conversation.
Giants.
No. Jets. But no. We had this chat, I think, a week or so ago, and I thought perhaps I got through to you. Maybe I didn't. It is the preseason, Paul. You shouldn't be gambling on it. It's preseason. So, I mean, I know you had the Raiders a couple weeks ago, and I think you missed on that bet. Now you're telling me you're gonna have a couple shekels on the Giants.
The Giants.
Yeah?
Now, tonight I'm watching two football games. I didn't watch
But you're not watching football games. You know that. You're watching preseason. That's not like watching football game.
I'm watching my two football
games.
Wait,
hold on a second. It's like watching porn and all you watch is the dialogue. You know what I mean? What do you mean, right?
That's you.
No, that's everybody.
I worship football.
You're not watching football. It's preseason.
I'm watching the Rams and the Chargers.
It's glorified practice.
I'm up. Watching my...
Listen, Giants and Jets, I get it because it's Giants and Jets.
I don't watch a pitch of baseball anymore.
Well, what are you talking? You're not watching Yankees Red Sox? Oh, by the way, Paul, a little birdie told me that you think the Mets are finishing in last place for the next 5 years?
Well, this is the first two.
This is the first two? What are you talking about?
They haven't made the playoffs in 2 years.
But over the next 5 years would imply the next 5 years, not retroactive.
Yes.
So you mean the next 3 years?
This minor league team that's on the field, this is your team of the future.
Well, listen, that team, that minor league team, they've been playing very well since the trade deadline.
Yeah. All right. You watch 20 a lot.
Okay. Let me ask you again. You hear Paul and Yonkers are saying for the next 5 years the Mets are going to finish in last place.
Or they won't make the playoffs.
Okay. They're not going to finish. Seven. They're not going to finish in last place this year. By the way, did you get the? Did your secretary get the demands that I presented her about the Vegas trip?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait a second. I don't want to go there. I want to thank you tonight.
Yeah.
Because you brought up some wonderful memories.
What did I bring up?
So here I am watching the two football games. Normally, a couple of years ago, I would have jumped in my car, got my paper, ran to my local diner to have a cup of coffee, something light to eat.
Yeah.
And open up my paper, go to the lines,
yep,
and get ready for Saturdays and Sundays.
Right.
Can't do it no
Can't
more.
Can't do it. What's going on here, Paul? A good fellow like you in Yonkers, you can't even go to a diner, get a nice cup of coffee, a knish, maybe a burger, and bet on football? What kind of country is this?
Right. So my diner in Yonkers was waiting for my local casino, which I won't mention them, to go
What is with the cloak? But Paul, why do you always got to be with the cloak and dagger? It's fine. What? You don't want to give him a pop, but every time you come on here, you're acting like with the cloak.
I don't want a pop. I don't want to give them no props.
But it's your local casino. Don't you go there all the time?
Yeah, that's it.
Paul, by the way, our audience is not stupid. They could look up the casino in Yonkers and know the one you're talking about.
Let them. I don't want to. My local casino didn't turn into a casino, so I'm not getting a sports book. I needed them to get a sports book.
No, I understand that. I understand that. Well, hold on a second, though, Paul. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Do you own a cell phone?
I have a 1980 flip phone.
Well, hold on. I don't even think flip phones are around in 1980. What do you got, a beeper? What are you working with?
I got a little jitterbug.
You still got a pen pal, you write? I mean, come on, Paul. So you don't have a phone that you could even access. And I know you're a ticket guy. I get it. You like to go to the windows and get the tickets. I understand that. And I just thought maybe if you had a more modern phone, then that could kind of help your problem where there is no sports book.
I have a tablet to check all my scores. When I go to the casinos, I got to check all my scores. That's the only reason
Are you still going to AC in 2 weeks?
Yes.
Okay. And remember, that Tuesday, you got to call me for the pick.
Yes.
Okay.
But while we're talking about it, you got to realize the Yankees are going to block us.
So what do you mean by block us? No, they're going to play a game, and then we'll do it afterwards.
Yeah, 10:30. Yes,
yeah, that's fine. I'm good with that. No. Just make sure you don't fall asleep at 7 o'clock at night. That's all.
No, I'm in a casino.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. Yeah, you'll be good. Yeah, yeah. No, I got it. Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah. There's no windows for a reason. I understand that, and no clocks. I totally get the idea there. All right, cool. So, yeah, we'll be good to go. So you'll be calling me live from the casino to set the stage. Love it.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Likewise.
I have a lot of fun. And, but I'm a football guy. I worship it.
No, I get. Listen, Paul. Look, I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to argue. It's the number one sport. Right. I understand that, but just to me, Paul, and I appreciate the call, bud. And we'll talk a little bit more shop later on. But for me, it's like watching preseason football is like watching a porn when you're just watching the dialogue. I mean, all right, it's great. You got to fix the plumbing. I understand that. I appreciate a good plot, but then after the plot, I'd like to see what I'm saying. And you, my friend, by watching preseason football, are just watching the dialogue in a pornographic movie. That's it. That's what preseason is. But you are a football, and Paul, you're not alone, by the way. And hopefully you're not pulling my leg here, because I sent your secretary 25 to 30 demands that I need met in order for me, Positive Tommy, to join you, Paul and Yonkers, out in Sin City, out in the desert, out in Vegas at the end of the month in September. 25 to 30, very small, very doable, especially somebody with your stature, with your clout out there. You've been going out there forever. You've been flirting with that waitress named Dottie for years. Now, Dottie's obviously not, a little bit older than she used to be, which is fine. It's okay. It suits you. But I would imagine you, Paul, could hook me up. And if you don't meet these demands, then we're going to have a problem. Not literally in the sense that you and I are going to have an issue. It's just I'm not going to go. That's all. So as long as, the limousine picks me up from the airport, the temperature in the limousine is 67 degrees, not 66, not 68, 67 degrees. That's the start. Then I need a suite at the Bellagio. Then I need table service at Encore Beach Club. Then I need table service at, I was going to say Excess Nightclub, but they are actually closed for renovations. So I will adjust my plans, and I will say table service at Omnia Nightclub. So these are just a couple things. I need a dinner reservation at Adiamo Steakhouse. That is in Old Vegas. That's Fremont Street, a place I'm sure you're very familiar with, Paul. And these are the things I need. So this is the type of stuff that you, as a guy that is in action down there, can put me in the action. Otherwise, you're going to be flying solo, and I'm not going to join you. But Paul, yes, we will do some type of thing throughout the year where he picks a survivor thing or whatever. Who knows? I'm sure both of us, Paul will be asleep. I mean, we're doing this at 10:30 at night. I don't care if he's at a casino. We know Paul and Yonkers. The guy's going to be asleep by 7 o'clock at night. I'm stunned he's up at 12:30. He tells us he's watching football. I imagine he's watching Matlock, let's be honest. Maybe the Golden Girls reruns or something like that. But yeah, preseason football, not for me. It's just not for me. Other than it's my job to watch it and then talk about it. But if it wasn't my job to watch it and talk about it, then I wouldn't be watching it, and I sure as hell wouldn't be talking about it. Reggie joins us from White Plains next here on After Hours. What's up, Reggie?
It's always a pleasure to talk to Positive Tommy, the best fan on the fan.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
So I love your take on Georgie Jr. Tonight is a great night to sit him down and let him watch. Keep him on pinch runner alert and just sit him next to Judge and give him a blow, you know?
Absolutely. I thought it was a missed opportunity, and my fear ended up coming to fruition, and that is he, you know, had another error, and it's now a situation where I think it's going to continue to manifest in his brain. And it's also, spoiler alert, Reggie, it's going to be one of the big topics on this radio station, not only tonight through the overnight, but also all day tomorrow.
Yeah, Boone's coolest with that stuff. You're right, because Friday night against the Sox, everyone's booable, and he's no Real quick wedding story for you, you were talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
2 hours before this wedding, someone anonymously DM'd a friend of mine screenshots of his fiance being unfaithful. Okay?
Oh, boy.
He was so embarrassed. You know, his grandparents flew in for it and everything. He went through with the wedding, the reception, the whole thing. Next day, he wakes up, takes the envelopes, dumps her, and goes to Hawaii by himself, and he's become a legend.
Hold on. Okay, so back up the truck. So the gal, the bride, was being unfaithful.
Right.
And wherever, it could have been bachelorette party, whatever. But the point is that he, the groom, found out about it the night of the wedding, and because, you know, that's obviously it's a huge deal to his family, he went along with it that night, didn't say anything to anybody, probably including her, and then the next day he dumped her, and then he went on the honeymoon solo?
Someone sent him some sinister stuff, you know, I don't know who it was, no one knows who it was, anonymously, and
it was obvious that it was her doing what she was doing.
Yeah, irrefutable, and he went out there for 10 days to Hawaii by himself, hysterical.
King move. That's a great move by him. You look, obviously, it's one of those situations where, hey, I mean, you know what? Maybe you're better off. Obviously not the best timing in the world, but for him to kind of power through that and, yeah, maybe he's like forgetting Sarah Marshall. Like, he went down there by himself. Hopefully he found Mila Kunis. I mean, that would be nice. I mean, I quite frankly want to find Mila Kunis. So, I mean, and I'm married. So, I mean, one of those situations where it's a smart idea. Yeah, dump her the next day. Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. It's tough. But yeah, I was speculating earlier if there was ever anybody that... Because we always hear about the runaway brides, right? That's always a big thing, right? The runaway bride, which I think is very much of overblown. You see it in Hollywood movies, things of that nature. But does it happen that often? Probably not. But you never hear about the runaway groom, the guy that gets cold feet and doesn't show up for the wedding. And the thing I threw out there earlier was if this does in fact happen where the bride or groom doesn't show up, or how about neither one of them show up, do you still go along with the... Obviously, you're not going to go along with the ceremony, but would you... Because there's nothing to... You know, you're not going to get married to a pole, I don't think. So you're going to have to skip that. But do you still have the reception? I mean, you paid for it. I don't think you're going to get a rain check. I don't think you're going to get your money back. So you already paid for the band and the DJ and the food and the hall and all those things. Do you end up just having the reception? I would think you would. But yeah, that's a brutal story. But I'm sure the guy made out. Hopefully he did make out. But hopefully more ways than one. And he made out all right in life, too. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Ryan in Kent, Connecticut joins us next. What's up, Ryan?
Yo, what's up, Tommy, hey. Man? I need your opinion on something. Mm-hmm. I know we're both Mets fans, but I want to talk about Yankees and the whole shortstop situation.
Yep.
I want to either call it the curse of Jeter, the curse of A-Rod, the curse of Cashman, or the curse of Steinbrenner.
Mm.
I've been looking at the shortstop thing, and since he left and they won in 2009, they had DD. They had Glaber, who ended up just moving to second and being an all-star with the Tigers. Isaiah, and now he's on Boston.
Yeah, I mean, DD was solid. I mean, DD was the best one of the bunch so far.
Yeah, I could agree. And then they had Volpe, and now they're at Lombar. And, you know, in between they had the kind of people like Caballero and not.
Yep.
But, yeah, what would you call it? You think when they brought A-Rod in and they had Jeter, and A-Rod was technically, statistically, the better.
Better. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Jeter's ego wouldn't allow him to move himself to third.
Is it the curse of Cashman? Is it the curse of Jeter? I don't know. Who would you call it, my man? I love the show tonight. I love all New York teams. I can't wait for football. Let's go, Dart. And thanks for taking my call, man.
Yeah, you and me both. I can't wait for football, too. So, which is Paul and Yonkers are arguing about. Look, I'm going to get into the college football on Saturday. It's week zero. You got Belichick out in London. A couple of good games, all things considered, it's week zero. So a huge slate from morning till night. So it's great to have college football back. Preseason, other than my job purposes, it is what it is. But it means nothing. But I'll watch, obviously, because it's, you know, homework, so to speak. But Yeah, I don't know if I'd say it's a curse. I would just say it's the universe evening out. I mean, they won a million times with Jeter. They had so much success, it's hard to win. It's hard to win championships. Like, I'm sure the Knicks are not going to have a million great point guards after Brunson is gone. It's just that's the way it happens. Hard to find one Jeter. It's hard to find one Brunson. It's hard to find Eli Manning. It's not easy to find not only great players, but guys that come through in the clutch that win. It's just, it's tough. So I don't think it's necessarily a curse. I just think it's, you're fortunate that you had Jeter. You're fortunate that you have JB. You're fortunate that you have Eli. And so on and so forth. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. If you're on hold, we'll get to you. Yankees, a lot of Yankee talk. We'll mix in some Mets as well, some Jets in the final hour here. If you want to hop on, like I said, the number to dial is 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan.